141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard for another of our top flight winter break shows. Sam Lammers looks set to move away from Rangers and back to the Netherlands. Scott Brown reckons there's still quite a big gap between Glasgow's big two and thinks Celtic will be stronger after the break. And Callum Davidson is the new manager of Queen's Park. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, it's a bit of a strange combo for any night, but particularly for a Tuesday, it's Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans.
A thought occurs to me. We know Sam Lammers is on his way, and we know that Yilmaz may be on his way from Ibrox with him. We know that Ediguchi's gone from Celtic and he's staying in Japan. We know that Gustav Lagerbielka might be joining Serie A, and Rocco Vata, promising youngster, might be going with him. Now, is anybody out there getting twitchy about when somebody's coming in here? Brendan Rodgers said he wanted 4 new players in this January transfer window. One would be a good start for the Celtic fans, and Philippe Clement, first window as Rangers manager, wants to overtake Celtic in the second half of the season. Where are his buys? What's happening?
If there was one pundit who was going to hit the panic button on the 9th of January, it was this man. And that's why he's here, and that's why we love him. But we're very much in that season, Gordon. We're knee-deep in transfer rumour and speculation, I think, at the moment. We wait for it to get a step further.
Yeah, I echo a lot what Hugh says, and I'm delighted he's here tonight, especially when it's a quiet winter break. But I think everyone's enjoying their holidays, Gordon. I think they're enjoying their well-earned break. But I'm sure the managers and the clubs will be doing a lot of business. As Hugh quite rightly says, if you're a supporter, you're waking up every day, you're wanting that news, you want that excitement, you want to see who the club's going to bring in rather than, you know, exit the building. So there's still plenty of time, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of movement shortly.
I'm astonished it lasted until the 9th of January.
Well, that's where he's wrong. It's not a quiet winter break at all. We're here every night, and there's plenty to talk about. It's 01419511025. So on today's headlines, what do you think? Give us a call, Rangers fans. It looks like Sam Lammers will head to Utrecht on loan. Is that just best for all parties, or do you still maintain that little bit of faith? Do you think there's a player in there? Do you think the criticism's been over the top? Would you keep him around? Let us know your thoughts on Sam Lammers right now, 01419511025. I've got a funny feeling one way or the other someone will have something to say about Scott Brown's assessment that the gap between Celtic and Rangers is still quite big. What do you make of those thoughts? 01419511025. He did go on and elaborate, feels that Celtic need a new striker, and spoke about Brendan Rodgers' side getting stronger after the break. No European football, not many midweek fixtures penciled in, and he thinks that will see Celtic get stronger and kick on to win the title. So what do you think? 01419511025. And it is awards season. I've seen Taylor Swift and all the other A-listers on the red carpet at the weekend. We've got Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans, and tonight is the second of our Clyde One Super Scoreboard half season awards. Do you like it?
We are both Swifties.
And occasionally end up in the carpet.
It is very catchy, that title, the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Half Season Awards. A different category every night this week. Last night we had signing of the season so far. I will reveal the winner in a minute. Tonight it is your surprise of the season. Now that's deliberately vague, because it means we're going to require you to get imaginative, right? So surprise of the season, that can be anything you want. It can be a good surprise, it can be a bad surprise, it could be a player, it could be a team, it could be something entirely different. It's like fill in the blanks. I'm surprised that X has been so good, I'm really surprised that Y has been so bad, and so on and so forth. So tonight's your surprise of the season. Is it a player that's just performed out his skin? Is it a signing that you thought would be brilliant but has been terrible? Is it a team that's punching above their weight? A team that's having a disaster? You package it up however you want. We'll do that in the second hour of the show. Tweet us, call us, get your thoughts in. Your surprise of the season, 01419511025. But before we get to that, let's deal with today's headlines, and we need you to give us a call. So please do get in touch. Let us know what you think, Rangers fans. Is it the right time to try and move Sam Lammers on, or is there a player in there? Would you keep him around? Is it risky to try and press the button on that loan? Celtic fans, how are you feeling about your transfers? We're going to hear from Scott Brown. Callum Davidson is the new manager of Queen's Park. There is enough out there, but please, we need you to pick up that phone. 01419511025. You two ready for that a bit later on? You'll get your thinking caps on.
Yeah, ready there.
For surprise of the season. Now, the beauty of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard half season award, last night was signing of the season. And the way we do this is we spend the show, we get the listeners to help us, we count up the suggestions, we come up with a short list of four, and then our listeners can vote on them all night on Twitter, and we announce the winner the following day. So with that in mind, what I will do is remind you of last night. We came up with the following shortlist for signing of the season so far: Jack Butland, Luis Palma, Owen Beck, Lewis Mayo. Any complaints about the shortlist?
Not at all.
No.
I mean,
no.
Too late. We got no changing it now. But
yeah, I know I'd pick for a winner.
Who would you have gone for, incidentally?
I think young Beck at Dundee has been magnificent, but signing of the season for me was so important for Rangers, the goalkeeper, to replace Alan McGregor, and I think they certainly achieved that.
I couldn't argue with that. Luis Palma has been terrific for Celtic. He's the, well, he was the only summer signing who was making any headway until Paulo Bernardo got to Dens Park on Boxing Day and started to show what he is capable of doing. But in overall terms, you can't argue against Butland, apart from losing goals from distance from Keogh.
Well, the results are in, and I know it's like sleepless nights apparently across Glasgow in the West last night, and I can tell you by a fair distance, and let me point out, over 7,000 votes on this. I tell you what, see these sort of political studies and think tanks that they do, you don't get as many votes as that. That is a good sample size, 7,000+, and with 56% of the vote, it is Jack Butland, runaway winner. Luis Palma in second, 28. Honourable mentions to Owen Beck and Lewis Mayo for even making our prestigious shortlist. So that's that one. That is on the trophy cabinet for Jack Butland. I'm sure he's honoured. And tonight, later on, we will get to your suggestions for surprise of the season. But before then, thoughts in right now, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, right or wrong to try and move Sam Lammers out on loan? Celtic fans, Scott Brown thinks it will be a stronger Celtic second half of the season. Still thinks there's a bit of a gap over Rangers. How do you assess that? 0141 951 1025. Let's start with that. Sam Lammers, Gordon DL. It looks like back to the Netherlands, Utrecht on loan. He obviously hasn't made a huge impact. I think that's safe to say. And I'm hoping the callers will tell us, though, you know, how bad's it been? Is it right to do it? Is it not? Firstly, are you surprised to hear that or not?
No, I don't think anybody would be surprised to hear that. I'm not going to sit here and ridicule the lad and say that he's not a good footballer. I just think that Rangers is the wrong fit for a club. When you come into a club like Rangers and Celtic, you've really got to try and hit the ground running or show that there's a capability that will happen in future games. He had a terrific strike up at Dens, wasn't it? Dundee scored a terrific goal, and you're thinking, right, that's given him a bit of confidence. Can he kick on from there? He's come in for a bit of criticism from the support, which doesn't help, and quite rightly so, because you're expecting big things. So for a lad now, he might go away back home and he might be settled there. He might produce the sort of football that Rangers seen in him to sign him, but just now, with the fact that the new manager's in the building, he'll want new players in, it frees up a bit of wages as well. I think it's a very sensible move indeed.
Rangers haven't cast them aside. You know, they're making a judgment call halfway through the season, and based on the evidence of our own eyes and the eyes of the Rangers fans, he hasn't done enough. But he could go back to Utrecht and entice Rangers to bring him back, or else it might not work out at all and Rangers will have to try and cut their losses. But right now, I think it's the correct call to make.
Both the guys think it's correct, but do you, Rangers fans? I like these two, but it's much more important to find out what you think. 01419511025. 5. Again, Gordon, we find out between now and 8 o'clock. I wonder if there is anyone out there that still thinks, oh, there's a player in there, or if that ship has sailed for some of the Rangers fans.
Yeah, I think I remember going along to one or two of the pre-season games at Ibrox.
Is this where it comes from? Because I've seen that a lot today. They had a really good pre-season.
Exactly, I was just about to echo that, Gordon, and I looked up and I thought, yeah, Rangers have got a bit of a signing on their hands. But when the real football kicked in, he just didn't hit the ground running at all. Obviously, it's a change of manager. He worked under Michael Beale at the beginning. It was him that brought him in. It wasn't a fit for Rangers. And as I said, sometimes a goal or a good performance gives you the confidence to kick on. It was a 5-0, I think, win at Dens that night, and he scored a terrific goal. And you're thinking, oh, he's got that in his locker. Now, I do believe, like I believe in every player, I think you're at a club like Rangers and Celtic because you've got ability, there's something there. But sometimes that club or the country or the style of football or the pace of football just doesn't suit, and you need to move away. How many players have we seen at Celtic and Rangers, and we class them as you and I would probably say in the old days, as duds, and they go away to other clubs and they perform at such a high level?
You can score a goal in a 5-goal romp. But when you're playing Celtic, can you rise to that occasion? And at the moment, the Rangers fans would say that Lammers is probably not capable of that right now.
And to be fair, there's probably more in between, because there are loads of players in time that have done okay, and it's only those types of fixtures. But you wouldn't even necessarily say he's stood out in...
I don't think, apart from... I keep going back to Dens Park's probably the only time I've seen him that I thought, yeah, you've had a decent game. Look, and the most important thing I think for a Rangers manager is if he can get one or two of these players that have not got to be involved in his plans going forward in the later stages of this season, then it frees up money to bring in better quality.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the wage structure would be, but yeah, you'd have to imagine that would be part of it. Jeff is on the line. Is there still a player in Sam Lammers, Jeff, or do you think it's time to move him on?
I think you're actually making a hole for me to answer this. I don't really know to give you a proper answer. I think we should try and get some money for him and go for Shankland, right? That's my opinion. Right, I've got some other opinions as well.
Yeah. What's not worked for him then? Is it just, like I said, is it a downright terrible signing the way some people think it is? Or, you know, can he come back from this if it was a loan?
I don't know. Yes, I think he could. But I don't know if he was the right player to come to Ibrox, to tell you the truth.
What you have here, Jeff, is a signing made by Michael Beale, and it's Philippe Clement who's in charge of the judgment department now.
Yeah,
and it leads me to think that the manager does not believe that he's got a long term player there.
That is the other thing, isn't it? This is Philippe Clement comes in, every manager says it. You know more than me how true it is about it being a complete blank canvas for everybody. But the looks of it, that is, you have to assess them quite quick. And Philippe Clement clearly thinks that for now it's not. I've no idea if Michael Beale's still there. Does the same conclusion get reached? But you know, when a new manager comes in, it's a new fresh pair of eyes. He didn't sign him. There's no sort of loyalty there. He obviously doesn't think.
It's happened to other players, and it will probably in the January window. The only thing I'll say to Jeff is, I know what he's saying. It'd be an ideal situation if they could. What did they pay for him? 3.5 or something? They paid a lot of money, did they not? Even if they could
from
get
Atalanta,
to get some money back in. But seeing January, Gordon, especially with a guy he's not been in any form at all. He doesn't play a lot of games. They're trying to get him out the door. Nobody's going to come in and hand you a cheque and take him for decent money. So what they'll do is they'll take him off your wage bill, which will help Clement. And you hope that he can go to another club and do either two things. Hit the ground running there and a club prepared to keep him and want to keep him and pay good money for him. Or he comes back a more confident and better player because he's had games.
Because, I mean, as it stands... Look, he's a human and people don't settle and it doesn't work out. There's no point in battering the guy personally. But as it stands right now, he clearly is, you know, it'd be one of the the real disappointing signings, I'm not, you know, of all time, I don't want to be that dramatic about it, but it's sort of up there in terms of recent time, decent fee. You know, some players even might not perform well, but they can produce numbers, as we say, and sort of, you know, cover over that. I think it's 2 goals and 31 appearances. There won't be many assists in
Celtic
there.
Celtic and Rangers have made, in fact, they've racked up a number of disappointing signings. You know, Danilo, although out with a long-term injury, is still a long way off proving himself to the Rangers fans. Dessers is still a long, long way off proving himself to Rangers fans. Lammers has not proved himself. Over at Celtic Park, we know who has failed to impress there as well. And so Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement have to sort this out, and bit by bit, that's what they are doing.
See, to be honest with you, you make a good point there. If you look at, since the summer, you look at the two managers that have come in. Now, Michael Beale has brought a lot of players in the summer. Postecoglou probably had a bit of say in some of the players that have come in. So they've got a balancing act, both clubs, because they've got players that Brendan Rodgers and Clement, new manager, they really don't want. And they've paid good money. They're on good wages. So it's a juggling act to get them out and free up some money.
I think what can sometimes make it more glaring, it doesn't make it a worse piece of recruitment, because you could say, you know, if you're so far off the first team, that's an even, you know, worse failure of recruitment. But we did speak about this last night, where look, Rangers needed a rebuild, and sometimes Celtic sign players, and you know, the kind of starting cast, maybe if you can't break past them, there's no disgrace in that. But Rangers have had to rely on Sam Lammers has played 31 times. That's the point. It's not like there's a bit of mystery about Navrotsky and Lager Bielka, because we've not seen them that much. So people are saying, well, are they not good enough, or have they not been given a chance? Unfortunately for Sam Lammers, he's definitely been given a chance. They couldn't dispute that.
I mean, Philippe Clement would not start a game with Sam Lammers in the team unless he had a real emergency on his hands.
I mean, he has, because that's just where they've been at in recent times.
I do not think that at the moment he has shown enough to be a Rangers player. And I listened to a caller last night who kept asking why Navrotsky and Lager Bielka did not play. Well, the answer is quite simple. Brendan Rodgers doesn't think they're up to it.
You see what I mean, though, Gordon, the distinction? Like, we'll never truly know. Brendan Rodgers makes that decision. But once you get a long run in the team, that's when everybody else can then decide. And that's kind of what's happened with Sam Lammers. 31 appearances by the time we get to January. That's a good innings.
Yeah, so you've got to be fair and say, look, he's had a fair crack at the whip. As I keep going back, the only one game tens, I thought, and Hugh quite rightly points out, well, it's a 5-0 drub, and MD can probably play well in that, but he scores a terrific goal. Look, it's not been a suitable move for him just now. I'm not saying he's a bad player. All I'm saying is he's not a fit for Rangers. He certainly doesn't sound to be a fit for a new manager going forward. He wants his own sort of players in there. You look into that position, when everybody's fit, then where is he in the pecking order? He's probably well down that pecking order. So for the sake for the club and the lad, I think it's better for him to go out and get regular.
You're higher in the pecking order?
Yeah, probably. Well, Wilson's got my boots, I won't be able to play.
Oh, I'm going to get to that later. Oh, yeah. What else have you got for us, Jeff?
Right, I would like to wish Radio Clyde a happy birthday over the festive period.
Yeah, Hogman A.
I've listened to Radio Clyde. I've only missed a handful of programmes, and I remember the days when James Sanderson and Jerry McNee were on the show. It was, I mean, over the years, it is just that Radio Clyde Sport has been superb. Now, what I would like to ask you is, could you, at some point, I go to the junior football, which is now the West of Scotland, if you could, at some point on a Saturday afternoon towards the end of the programme, give out the results.
It's not a bad idea. We did send you to Clyde Bank with a flare one time. You were head ultra. You were capo at the the Bankies game one day.
Yeah, well, I mean, my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandson are all season ticket holders at the Paper Hankies. So I'll get her to phone in the result there, and we'll get an army of followers to do likewise elsewhere.
Hugh, you've been on this show for ages. Am I right in saying they used to read out a couple of the junior results?
Yeah. Listen, everybody knows I love my lower league and West of Scotland League football. But
I've spent a couple of years.
I've got quite a lot on our plate in here on a Saturday. I'll try my best. 01419511025. Scott Brown thinks the gap between Celtic and Rangers is still quite big. I wonder what you think, and anything else on signings, call us right now.
At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Family-owned since 1897, we've built our reputation on trust, transparency, and innovation. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys.
Drive home a new 2025 Audi Q5 for $559 for 39 months with $49.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/26.
Please.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel are here. Get your calls in on any transfer rumour, speculation, reporting that you want to discuss. And in the second hour of tonight's show, really looking for you to step up to the plate and give us your surprise of the season. It's deliberately vague because I want to see what you can come up with. Is it a good surprise? Is it a bad surprise? Is it a player? Is it a manager? Is it a team? You decide. It's a very prestigious award we're hoping to give out, so give us a call on that a bit later. In the meantime, Michael is in Barrhead and he's a Celtic fan. Sum up how a Celtic fan feels day 9 of the window so far, Michael. Michael, can you hear us?
Obviously stunned.
Michael, yes, we've got you now, good. I was worried I was going to be stuck with these two for the next 5 minutes, but we've got you. What are you thinking?
Michael, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Hold on a sec. I'll try to fix that.
Take your time, Michael. We'll wait for you.
Yeah, yeah.
No hurry.
Yeah,
no.
Nice to be on your show, Michael.
Hear me now?
Yes, on you go, Michael.
There we go. Technical issues. Yeah, so it being Celtic, I'm quite used to the last-minute deals getting over. So we've got enough money in the bank, and Rodgers is quite canny in the transfer market. So I'm not too concerned at this stage. But, you know, being a Celtic fan, undoubtedly about a week later, I'll be, you know, tearing my hair out, taking the news every 5 minutes if I've actually done something.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a bit of sympathy. Everybody wants it by the 9th, but we act like transfers don't involve a number of parties. Teams want to wait and see who they get in to replace the guy they're going to let go and so on. It's not like it's just Celtic. I'm not seeing loads of business being done anywhere.
Well, you know, Michael said Celtic were quite, or Brendan was quite canny in the transfer market. The club, I'm excluding Brendan Rodgers, Michael, the club were not canny in the summertime transfer window.
He says he was part of it, so you might be letting him off the hook.
Well, it would be a terrible condemnation of a manager's judgment if you spent £7.5 million on two central defenders that you didn't want a fortnight after they got there. So my other observation, Michael, would be that at the AGM, Brendan Rodgers specified that he wanted four players in this window. If he doesn't get his four players in the window, and the league race is very much on with Rangers, then, Michael, you won't be the only one tearing his hair out. Brendan will be having a go as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned just now. It's early in the transfer window. A lot of players, managers, they're on holiday just now, getting a well-earned break. But there'll be a lot of work going on behind the scenes, Gordon, and you're right in what you say. It's not just the old days where you phone up and say, right, I'm interested in Joe Bloggs, okay, get him up to Glasgow, we'll sign him. There's so much to do now before you can get a transfer over a line. Every player's got agents and representatives, and you've got to go through all that, and you've got to make sure the deal's right for both clubs and the player as well. So there'll be a lot of work probably done, and I think a lot of movement mid-January towards the end of the window.
Any particular areas of priority you're looking at, Michael?
Maybe not for this particular window, but the main reason I called in is because I've had a sort of ever sort of growing concern about the future, and that there's this idea that, you know, we shouldn't be going after projects. But there's one project I think we need to start working on now, and that's at some point having some sort of an inheritor for Callum McGregor. He's so important. He came in following another amazing engine room midfielder in Scott Brown. And my concern is, I mean, if you want to defeat Celtic, you just stop Callum McGregor from playing. It was the same with Scott Brown.
It's a very good point that Michael raises.
Anyone in future?
Yeah, it's a very good point that Michael raises.
Well, 30-year-old Callum McGregor might not be too happy that we've written him off.
Yeah, but, you know, when Scott Brown left...
You had the same conversation, didn't you? I remember that.
But you wondered, could Callum McGregor fill that role? And to his eternal credit, he has more than filled that role. Different type of player from Scott Brown, but he has been outstanding. Likewise, Matt O'Riley won't be at Celtic long term. People will come in with eye-watering money for Matt O'Riley. And the same thing might happen to Reo Hatate, especially if Jermaine Defoe's pal was right on last night's programme.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
So there are many areas where Celtic have to be careful. I think this window is important. And I know that people always say, the January window's a tough one. Well, the championship, the title is in the balance. And Celtic have to have a good window, likewise Rangers. And I do accept Gordon Dalziel's point that mid to late January will be important. But I go back to the point. The manager quantified four signings. The club have got to back the manager.
I get the theory, but I'll repeat it. Callum McGregor turned 30 in June, Gordon. He does play an awful lot of football for club and country, but it must be a fair way down Celtic's priority list at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be looking at that at all. Callum McGregor's got plenty of football, plenty of years in him. You don't often get players now like the Callum McGregors at Celtic Rangers that have come through for so how many years?
Yeah,
has
what
he
is
been
he over 400 games? I think, isn't he?
Yeah.
He went out on loan to Notts County, come back, he waited for his opportunity. And basically he's been absolutely brilliant for Celtic.
Who is his fellow loanee at Notts County that's kicked on to great things?
Jack
Grealish. Quite well known. I just wondered if you
knew. Jack Grealish,
yes. Just wondered if you knew. Stay on top of these things.
I am so glad you got that.
Exactly.
There.
I can see the blank look on your face.
You think you've hired Dumb and Dumber for the night?
I knew you would know it, but I can see that glazed over expression on his face.
If I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't have got that.
Didn't know that, no?
No, I didn't.
McGregor and Grealish.
Yeah, brilliant.
Michael, what do you think? And I get where you're coming from and you're not wrong, but at 30, is there not a good bit to go before Celtic worry about it?
I think the problem that we see is, you know, he's possibly, at least consistently, the best player in Scotland. Where do we get somebody like that? You know, if he was in the open market, you know, he'd be well out of our budget. So, but, you know, it's something happening within the academy? Do we have to start looking now to bring understudies in and things like that? I know it's not an imminent issue, but dealing with things as not being imminent, well, they're not imminent until suddenly they are.
That is fair. And do you know what, Hugh? It's been an interesting position. Although this did start about how do you replace Scott Brown, and then pieces just move a bit because Callum McGregor did, you know, they didn't replace Scott Brown because Callum McGregor was already there, and then, you know, other people fill in. So it can be done. It doesn't need to be like for like. But see, if you were to think of the list of those holding defensive midfielders that Celtic have signed, even if it was to be a project and eventually take someone's place, even if it was just for backup, from Oliver Abelgard to Abue Kouassi to James McCarthy to Idiguchi, who's gone back to Japan today, it's not been an easy department for Celtic to recruit in.
Sometimes what you don't know is the most important thing. Paolo Bernardo, as I say, prior to Dundee and Boxing Day, nobody would have bothered if Paolo Bernardo was going back to Portugal or anywhere else. But he's beginning to become an item. And, you know, there might be potential there for someone who has his attributes. Or you're going to get Kieran Tierney from Real Sociedad.
I'm not going to play in there, though, Gordon. And the, like I said, well, Idiguchi is a good example of just ones you don't always get right. And like Celtic, we're never going to get every single signing from Japan as effective as Kyogo or Hatate. That would be like record-breaking levels of impressive recruitment. But that was one, and I think at the time he was one that was seen as more of a punt. He's come in 6 games, and today the news that he's gone. So we're starting to see that process of Celtic trying to get, you know, these guys off the books, basically.
Yeah, it's important, because if you look at the Celtic squad, and probably Rangers as well across the city, I think they've got a lot of players that they could be doing with getting out the door and freeing up some money. As much as Celtic fans will come on and tell you they're cash rich, I'm not denying that, but you can't just keep signing player after player after player with big money that obviously Celtic and clubs like Rangers pay, and still have what I call dead wood sitting, picking up big chunks of it. So there's a balancing act, and I think that Rangers and Celtic, two clubs that have got a squads that are quite big, need trimmed, and then a sort of a, like Hugh was saying, the four players at Brendan Rodgers, he'll be looking for that four pieces of quality that makes such a big difference.
To be fair, people like Idiguchi are not even in that squad size, so that's before you even get to that. Michael, if it's not this window then that the Callum McGregor issue you raise is the priority, what is the priority right now?
Oh God, I mean, I don't think I'm quite as concerned as some people are making out in terms of this, because we've just had Atati back.
Yeah.
The whole bunch of people come back from injury. And I heard somebody say it before, that's almost like new signings. That was a pretty gutted team in the first half of the season. And on top of that, there was no real momentum, because we kept stopping for international breaks and this and that. I just felt we were never... We'd suddenly start scoring 6 goals and then everyone go away for 2 weeks, come back again, and it'd almost be like sort of starting from scratch with, you know, Brendan Rodgers dealing with what was effectively Ange's old team. He's still not put his own stamp on it, as far as I can see. So I think within there, you know, there's probably things that need to be done. Yes, I think another striker, you know, a Lyco, but somebody sort of in between, big and strong, but a bit more mobile. I think we need something in the left back. You know, but aside from that, I'm actually not too concerned.
Are those fair areas, Gordon? I spoke to Scott Brown today. He said Celtic would look at a new striker. Mm-hmm. Spoke to Charlie Mulgrew at the weekend. He said Celtic would need a new striker. Michael and Barhead said Celtic need a new... Is everybody just in agreement there or what?
Yeah, as much as I sing...
Because you're a big old champion on here.
Yeah. I still think there's a bit to come from him. But if you're going into such an important end of the season, with a lot of important games coming up, the more quality strikers you've got at your disposal, you've got a better chance of winning trophies, that's for sure.
If you've got goal scorers hanging about the place, then the likelihood is you'll do better in the title race. Rangers have plenty of strikers, none of whom strikes as regularly as the fans want. That's why they want Lauren Shankland in. Celtic have Kyogo, who has scored a couple of worldies this season, but not scoring
with the kids.
Yeah, not scoring as regularly as he has done in the past. So he does need help. He needs a serious backup, and O cannot provide as much as a new signing could.
That was a good call, Michael. Thank you very much. And before we go any further, whilst you get your calls in, we'll hear from Scott Brown after the break. Let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Today was the second Make Me A Winner call of the week, but still no winner. That's a problem for the competition. So this afternoon, when we made the call, they picked up, they said hello instead of Make Me A Winner, and that means they missed out on more than £50,000. That's the most regrettable hello of all time. You could hear it in their voice. They had no idea who was calling. And easy done, but make sure it doesn't happen to you. Make sure you're on the ball, your phone's on loud, 3 p.m. tomorrow, and we could make you the winner of £56,000 after 3 p.m. when we make the call. Only if you're in the draw, though, obviously. So text YES to 61025. It's £2 to text, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and those calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. And don't worry, if you've entered since Omo Balaji won on Friday, all the entries are still in the draw, and you don't have to re-enter. All the other rules for this network competition can be found online And finally, again, the important bit. If you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, Wednesday the 10th, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away, and the £56,000 would be yours. Text yes to 61025.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here. 141 951 1025. That's the number Willie's dialed. How's it going, Willie?
No bad. How you doing?
All good in here. Sam Lammers, is there still a player in there, or is it time to move him on?
I'll tell you in a minute. Could I just give a shout out to my young brother Gary? He's 50 today.
Oh, happy birthday, Gary.
Birthday for him, you know.
I must only be a year or two younger than you, Willie.
Aye, well, I'd like to think so.
I was going to say, if he's your younger brother, sound a young sounding man like yourself, what are you thinking about Sam Lammers?
Ah, but you've got to remember, John Gregg put 10 years in me. Gordon will tell you.
A few years on him as well, I think.
I put 20 on John.
Aye. Right, no, basically, it's a true story, right? You can believe this or not believe it, but it's a God's honest truth. Remember when Scott Nisbet was a Rangers player?
Yeah.
Well, we used to follow Rangers all over the place, right? Europe, we never missed games, and obviously we stayed in the same area, same hotels. And there was an instance where Scott Nisbet was asked to pick up the kit bag by Graeme Souness, right?
Okay.
And this is true, right? It's a God's honest truth, but I don't know for a spot. And he says to him, right, Scott, you might lift that bag. And Scott says to him, what's that, gaffer? He says, lift that kit bag. And he looked at him, and he actually says to him, do you want to be a Rangers player, Scott? Lift the kit bag. And what I was saying to Chris, your producer, I wouldn't even let Lammers carry the bag.
I was wondering where this was going.
Yeah.
So there we are.
Going, aye.
So he's that bad, is he?
He did score a great goal at Dens Park, regardless of the fact it was a 5-0 route. As you say, I mean, his control whenever was brilliant. You can see he's got a wee bit of technical ability and all that. But, I mean, they're big Derek, right? You and Derek worked for years together in Clyde, right? But the bottom line is, Derek said it for years. And, I mean, Gordon will know, there's been world-class players that went to either Ibrox or Parkhead and can't handle it. And Ibrox, and I don't agree with it, but see, Ibrox, you're lucky if you get 15 minutes. And see, after 15 minutes, if you make a bad pass or whatever, the crowd are on your back. Ferguson said that. I don't agree with it. So everybody's got to have time, especially if they're foreigners or whatever. But like Sir Rixon, he got it. Loudrup got it. You know what I mean? George Albert got it.
The thing is,
players just have done nothing.
I think with Lammers, we're probably in the middle, because in the grand scheme of a career, 6 months isn't a lot, and we've seen players go away on loan. We mentioned it last night through the Celtic lens about Christopher Ayer or Ryan Christie, and it can be done. But at the same time, we've seen a decent amount of them by kind of modern day standards. Is that not fair?
I like the point that Willie made there, and I'll go back to
the bit about the luggage.
No, I mean, anyone that said no to Graeme Souness was a very foolish individual. But you know, he made the point about the late Fernando Rixon. Fernando Rixon was torn apart in a derby game by Bobby Petta at Celtic Park, and Dick Advocaat took him off in the first half, and everyone thought he won't be long for here. But of course, he went on to be an outstanding player for Rangers. The point I'm making, though, is that that was then, that was 2002 or whatever it was. And now, 20 years later, people are judgmental, and they're judgmental in a very short space of time. Having said that, Lammers has not done enough to push himself to the forefront of Philippe Clement's thinking. And I think it's inevitable that he will go in this window to see if he can come back a different specimen.
If Sam Lammers is wondering, the lack of trust from Willie to carry the luggage would maybe be maybe all he needs to know.
Yeah, but I think that nowadays you get judged quickly. Some players get judged quickly because of the price tag that they carry. They come into a club and they've been brought in for 3.5 million. People assume, and they would be probably on big salaries.
Your mic sounds a bit funny. Can I just talk louder until we get that sorted out?
Yeah, it does. 1, 2, 3.
It's as high as it can go.
Yeah, but I think that's a problem now. Because you can go back, Hugh's quite
that's
right.
That's better. You sound great now.
I sound good. I've got to burst into song. But Hugh goes back to, I go back to the time when I was at Rangers, Alan McCoy's coming into the building.
Yeah.
6 months, 8 months, he was getting booed left, right and centre and went on to become the biggest hero ever at Rangers. But you don't get that time now. The modern day, you do not get that. You come in with big fees. The competition's so high now. You have to. They'll probably give you that 3 month grace, I think. But if you look at Lammers, 30 odd games, I think it's enough. I think a lot of Rangers fans have made up their mind. Now, look, for the sake of the lad, he might go away. He might just get himself fully confidence, because technically they are a decent player.
I was going to say that on Willie's point. Is there still something, do you think, just in terms of, you can see what, it's going to sound like this is all the praise I can give, but you can at least see what the intention is. You can see what the style is. You know, when Dessers was having his rough patch, or rougher patch, people used to say, I don't even know
what he's doing.
I don't know the style. I don't know what type of player he's supposed to be. You can like I say, this might be a really, really small compliment. I accept that. You can see what Sam Lammers is meant to be. Just living up to it's not exactly
what wouldn't surprise me, Gordon, is if he goes over to Netherlands and plays very well, because the style of football might suit him better. The way the team might suit him better. But I think
Willie's been trying too hard at some point. Did it just continually get away from him? You know, Willie says about Ibrox being unforgiving.
Well, he's right.
It felt like there was so many, you know, it would be like a nice touch and then a nice turn and then literally, like, you know, pass it straight out of the park or whatever. It felt like it just couldn't ever come together.
Willie's correct when he says that places like Ibrox and Celtic Park can swallow you up, and can swallow you up very, very quickly, because all you have to do is get out there in that first 10, 15 minutes, you're not having the best game. There's 49,000 people in there. They're letting you know. And all of a sudden, you either sink or swim. And I've seen a lot of guys standing up and accepting it and going on to have great careers. But I've also seen a lot of guys that just could not handle that side of it.
I have to say, just great commitment there to saying 49,000. Because everybody just calls it 50 for ease, but you never let the detail pass you by.
No, I'm right on the ball.
It was excluding the away fans.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hugh, is this just inevitable then? It looks like, I mean, I think first saw reports from the Netherlands this morning, and usually when it originates in the country that they're meant to be going to and the country that they're from, then it tends to pick up pace.
I absolutely no doubt the stories are 100% true. The bottom line, whether it's Celtic Rangers, whether it's Sam Lammers or Gustav Lagerbielka, they haven't done enough up until this point. And clubs have to make a judgment call. And Celtic and Rangers appear to have done that in the case of Lagerbielka and Lammers. That's what they have to do. They have to exercise their judgment. You can't keep having a squad that's bloated.
Yeah. Another one last night, Willie, was Yilmaz. Would you let him go, or would you want to keep him around?
Well, I think the only thing that's really against me, Gary Yilmaz, there's a good player there, and he's got a bit of pace in him as well. He's a different player from Barisic, obviously. But he's too wee. He hit me. I mean, I'm no big, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know, the goal which Shanklin scored for Hearts, that was him sealed as far as that goes. Plus, he's not had the best of time with injuries as well. But the injuries at Ibrox is just ridiculous. I mean, he can go by when Souness was there.
The only thing I'll say about that, last year, probably best left-back in Scotland was Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor's... what, same size, maybe?
I think he's a touch bigger, but it won't be much.
They're not a lot in it.
I'd be pretty confident he's bigger, but again, not by much.
Right, okay, on his toes. It's like me and Wilson, not a lot in it with the height. But I've got to say, I think Yilmaz, he surprised me. When I seen him at first, I was a wee bit like, Willie, I'm thinking, no, he's Barisic is number one left back for me all day long. I think he's got better as time's gone on. When he gets a run in the team, I think he looks very comfortable now. I think he's got a lot to offer, I really do.
Well, I think a lot of people saying that business in January could be the difference maker in the destination of the title. Former Celtic captain Scott Brown was speaking about it today, and he says the latest meeting between the sides, in his mind, shows that the gap is still quite big.
Yeah, it was a great time of the year, and going into that break as well, and knowing if they won that and won St Mirren, they'd be in a great position. And they've put themselves in that position. And as I say, now they're going to get stronger and stronger. They'll look fitter. And usually at this period of time, going from the new year to the end of the season, Celtic are very, very strong. So I'll be looking forward to seeing how they play and how they kind of go forward in the ways that Brendan wants them to go forward. Celtic have got a strong squad. And as you've seen, the gap when they played just the other day there. It was quite big, you know, the way Celtic front three press, the way they get after the ball, the quality they've got. I think that's the difference.
Agree, disagree, you tell us. But in the meantime, let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. It is Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hannah, of course, winning last night. Your chances of victory are considerably higher this evening, let me tell you. And you have until 7 o'clock to give us a call. 01419511025. We'll play Beat the Pundit next. The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can get in touch. We've been talking transfers, obviously, because there's not that much else to discuss. We're looking at some of the stories today. Perhaps Sam Lammers on his way back to the Netherlands on loan. Is that a good thing? Or is there still something worth sticking around, Rangers fans, Celtic fans? We heard from Scott Brown before the news. He thinks the gap over Rangers is still quite big in his mind. So you can agree or disagree until your heart is content. And I said it at the top of the show, every night this week we are going to give out one of the most prestigious awards anywhere in sport, quite frankly, but particularly in Scottish football, the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Mid-Season Awards. Five of them this week. We did signing of the season so far last night. Tonight it is surprise of the season. That is up to you. It can be a good surprise, it could be a bad surprise, it could be a player, a manager, a team, whatever. You decide, and we're going to do that as soon as we finish Beat the Pundit. So call me right now with your suggestions, if you can, on 01419511025. But let's play. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Last time you were on, we had the gentleman from Vermont, remember?
Marshall.
Now tonight, Thomas, he is in Glasgow, but he's from Sydney, Australia. Thomas, is that right?
It is right, yes, thanks.
So what's the story? So you're from Glasgow, you moved over there, you're back home, or what's... I'm nosy, tell me.
Yeah. I moved out 22 years ago, and just back with family for Christmas.
You homesick?
And back into Glasgow. Homesick, yeah, for about a day or two once I arrived.
The accent's still quite strong. Well, yeah, I like that. Yeah, I admire that. Are you doing that for us? Are you putting that on for us? Do you really talk different when you're over there?
No. The accent hasn't changed. So my two boys have got the Australian accents, but yeah.
They're young and impressionable.
Was it Sydney
happen.
Thomas? Yeah. I was famous in Melbourne.
Yeah. What's that got to do with anything?
No, I just wondered. I thought he maybe...
You went to Sydney though as well, did you not?
No. I stayed in Melbourne.
Not for very long, interestingly, right? Okay, apparently, right, so the Pundit, they've got some great statistics for you. The Pundits are unbeaten in 2024. Oh. Well, that's only a couple of nights. Apparently, Hugh, you got the 50th win of the season for the Pundits.
Well,
you got the 60th win of the season for the Pundits. And if you win tonight, it would be the 80th.
Pressure, Thomas.
Thomas, I don't get anything.
Nah, never. Thomas, I take it you've never played before.
No, I haven't.
Right, okay, it's very straightforward. I'll toss the coin, see who you play. If it is heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and if it's tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. My 20 pence piece must be here somewhere.
Get that penny, Hugh. Get the penny.
There it is. I found it. I knew it would be here. Right, heads, it's Hugh. Tails, it's Gordon. Let's see who we're going. Tails. It's the Australia Derby. Thomas, who's lived there for 22 years. Gordon, who barely lasted 22 days
22
before
seconds.
Getting sent up the road. So, we'll give Gordon some greatest hits radio, and that way he can't hear us. It's pretty straightforward. Thomas, just 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And if you don't know the answer, you are fine to move on to the next one, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Good man, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many Celtic players have been called up for the Asia Cup?
Five.
Craig Sybald was sent off for which side at the weekend?
Pass.
What shirt number does Todd Cantwell wear for Rangers?
Six.
Who did Man City play in last year's FA Cup final?
Man United.
Who's the longest serving manager in the Scottish Championship? Who was the last Scottish player to play? Right, I've started, so we go on. Who was the last Scottish player to play in goals for Celtic?
Oh, Rab Douglas.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon DL. Can you hear us?
We can hear you loud.
Tragedy there.
Did you hear that?
I hope that's not an omen for your Beat the Pundit performance.
It could be.
Ironic, the Bee Gees, Thomas, they are Australian-ish. But
Australian-ish?
What's also, wasn't the Steps version, no?
I think this
happened before, because I think then Mark Wilson and I traded Steps puns on Beat the Pundit, and when I said that the contestant got 5, 6, 7 or 8, it did not get the credit it deserved, and it ate away at me for weeks. That's as good as my humour gets.
Well, it's the Bee Gees.
I digress. 30 seconds to Gordon DL and it starts now. How many Celtic players have been called up for the Asia Cup?
3.
Craig Sybald was sent off for which side at the weekend?
Party.
What shirt number does Todd Cantwell wear for Rangers?
14.
Who did Man City play in last year's FA Cup final?
Liverpool.
Who's the longest serving manager in the Scottish Championship?
Pass.
Who is the last Scottish player to play in goals for Celtic?
Rab Douglas. Scott Bain.
You'll see why I'm laughing in a minute. Right, anyway, how many Celtic players have been first of all, Thomas, how do you think it went?
Oh, very, very average.
Very average.
Guy, for them both, I think.
How many Celtic players have been called up to the Asia Cup? Thomas, did you just throw a number?
No, I thought a couple of South Koreans.
Yeah, Thomas guessed 5 and he's right. Thomas is bang on. Tilio, Yang, Maeda, Hatate, 1-0 Thomas. Craig Sybald was sent off for Dundee United at the weekend. Finished 3-2 Morton, didn't it?
I was going to say Dundee.
1-0 Thomas. There are no points for being close. It's just down the way. Todd Cantwell wears 13. He said 14. Sam Lammers, I think, is 14. They're about to give it up.
Oh, so he is.
1-0 Thomas. I mean, right up your street, this is a Man City legend in your own mind. Who did Man City play in the FA Cup final?
Hold on, don't tell me.
Well, how long are we, what are we doing here?
Is it that? It wasn't Arsenal.
It was Man United, remember? Manchester Derby.
So
Thomas got it.
Oh, I'm beat.
2-0 to Thomas. Who's the longest serving manager in the Championship? It's Dougie Imrie. None of you got it. Still 2-0 Thomas. And who was the last Scottish player to play in goals for Celtic?
It's Scott Bain.
What's weird about it, you both said Rab Douglas and you were both like ludicrously far off. There have been Craig Gordon and various others in between. Scott Bain played on the 30th of September, which means, Thomas, you win. You win 2-0 and Gordon joins Mark Wilson and Marvin Bartley as the only two pundits to be grannied this season.
You've lost to a man who hasn't lived in the country for 22 years.
I slaughtered Wilson as well.
Thomas, well done.
Well done, Thomas.
You happy with that?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it wasn't a classic, but yeah.
Thomas, take any victory you can. Thomas is now pitying you.
Thomas, you get the ball, take it to the Sydney Opera House and get a selfie of yourself with the ball at the Sydney Opera House and send it back to us.
What a shout that is. Thomas, the only thing is the producer is panicking here. We're going to need to get that ball to you before you go back to Sydney, because listen, we won't send it that far. I know what they're like. They'll just forget about it. So good man, Thomas. Well done. Thanks for taking part. Safe trip home.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Safe trip home as well, Thomas.
See, it's just a water off a duck's back to him. Just came on.
I cannot believe.
Quite laid back. Big deal. See you later.
Is this worse than Mark Wilson being taken to a tie beat by a man who was born in another country and has never lived in this country?
I mean, Thomas is from here, so he's bound to like keep up in particular.
No, a zero's worse. A zero's lower than a snake's belly.
It's not. Listen, it's
low. I've got to take the criticism. It's coming. I just hope he's not listening.
Who, Mark?
Oh,
I hope he is.
Him and Big Marv.
I
just hope they turn.
Really,
I can't believe I never says.
What
Scott
I would say
Bain.
To you, not that it's a, can't defend it at all, but I don't think they were that easy. Because to get to know that it was 5 bang on under time constraints, you should have got Craig Sybald. I think Cantwell's easy, but not everybody likes squad numbers. Not everyone's mind works that way. You should have got more than 0, obviously. But
yeah, the Scott Bain one was terrible, right? I'll give you that.
Absolutely terrible.
Dougie Imrie, I would never get. In fact, ask me that on Thursday. I'll still pass.
Yeah.
I need to get back on the saddle on Thursday.
I gave my better half a cup of coffee this morning in the cup, and she said, "What does all this mean? Sammy the Tammy and Dessers all the 10 out of 10
this
answers."
This is the mug on. That you got from your 10 out of 10. Look, he's just trying to rub it in that he got 10 out of 10, 10 in the same season that you got a zero.
Who's Sammy the Tammy?
So am I now down in the record books as losing the 80th?
Yeah.
No, it would have been the 80th win for the pundits.
Right, okay. Yeah.
You're the man who stopped the run.
By the way, there you go. That could be out of inspiration from you. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard half season awards time. So catchy. It really does roll off the tongue. Maybe your surprise of the season is that Hugh Keevan's got a 10 on Beat the Pundit.
Yeah.
See, that's the type of thing. Listen, if you want to give us something a bit left field, outside the box, call it what you will, I am totally here for that. This award is quite vague and it's really up to you. So it could be a good surprise. It could be a bad surprise. It might be a player that you had written off who's really come to the fore. It might be a player who you thought would be brilliant but has been terrible. It might be a team that's punched above their weight, or a team that's been a big disappointment, or something a bit more bizarre like Hugh Keevan's perfect 10 on Beat the Pundit. So right now, if you can, 0141 951 1025, give us your surprise of the season. Call us right now. I think Mark Wilson will phone in to ridicule you for that performance.
Yeah, yeah. There's no defence. I won't sleep tonight.
Saying that though, I'm working away in the background just to try and give you some ammunition to sort of strike back.
Okay.
Because he played in the big testimonial at the weekend. Remember this?
Mm-hmm. The Queen. The one who wasn't even in the squad.
Versus Scotland legends, and he got in there on the back of one solitary cap. But listen, they all count. So I had the pleasure, is that the right word, of going down to work. I went to work at it unbelievably. So I got to watch him in action.
Right.
And all I was actually trying to film him on my phone at various points just to give you something. And there was a golden moment. Unfortunately, my phone was in my pocket, but he's tried to bomb down that touchline like he was doing all day. He's got your old boots on. They've seen better days.
No, they
were not off the expensive shelf in the sports shop, let me tell you.
They're sponsored.
No.
They're sponsored.
Do you want me to tell you what, right? There was a moment in the first half, and I'll need to get him to back me up on this. He crossed one in, right? And it's two things. It's his, probably partly his technique and your boots. The noise that came off his foot was like something you would hear down the Palace grounds on a Saturday morning, right? Anyway, so he's tried to bomb down the touchline. The defender's closing him down, and one of them where he's slightly overrun it, he's tried to get the cross in, he stumbled, the defender's put a bit of pressure, and then right into the advertising board.
No way.
He cut his arm. Now, because I was there working for Sky Sports, we actually did film the full game just to try and get some like highlights and whatever, and if Stephen Dobie scored and if any of the big names scored. So I'm trying to track down the footage of him careering into the boards at the side of the pitch.
Right, you witnessed it, and I think 60,000 Celtic fans every second week at Celtic Park witnessed it. He runs about and looks busy, doesn't he?
Yeah, do you know, I saw him before.
He runs about and looks busy.
I saw him before the game. You couldn't do this in the professional ranks. The last thing he did before the game, I saw him and somebody else in the team
were
having a wee word to each other, and they were starting their watch, their Apple Watch, to see how many calories they were burning off.
Honestly. He wasn't wearing a watch.
Yeah, he was, I saw.
I told them, I says, look, they boots, all you have to do, point yourself in the direction, they'll do the rest
for
you.
They were shocking boots.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, 01419511025, it is time to kick off our awards discussion for surprise of the season. What we will do is we're going to take your suggestions on board, whether that's on the phone or on Twitter. I appreciate some of these topics live better on Twitter, but I'd much prefer it if you call. We'll kind of take them in, we'll have a discussion about them, we'll see if Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans agree, and then we'll come up with a short list of four, and you can vote on them. I told you, it can be a good surprise or a bad surprise. Here is one to kick us off, right? In a sort of good sense, if you like, a positive sense, before we get to the negative one. I think it's an obvious one. Celtic follower Phil says, Liam Scales making centre-back his own with his form. Another surprise is how poorly Greg Taylor has played this season. So Phil is sort of giving with one hand, taking with the other. Start with a positive. Well, surprise of the season. Does Liam Scales need to be in the conversation?
What's the name after surprise there?
Liam Scales.
Yeah, and with no pun intended, it is the scale of Liam's progress that has surprised me, because but for poor signings in that department and the injuries in that department, Liam would have been back at Aberdeen and probably on a permanent basis. But he came in an emergency, and he has, as the gentleman said, made that area of the park his own. And now Celtic are talking about a contract extension, and he should get one. He did not get a proper chance prior to the beginning of this season, and now, having had a run in the team, he has shown himself to be a first-class pro.
Good contender for surprise of the season for you.
Right, I'll go. I'm going for a team.
No, but because we work through it, right?
All right.
Let's assess Scales.
Add to that.
Yeah, just to give your endorsement, because that's what Liam Scales really wants. Forget Champions League international recognition. He wants your endorsement for surprise of the season.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with what you said there, because I think the lad looked like his future was elsewhere. Football's just a game of opportunities. An opportunity came along, and you've got to say, he was absolutely brilliant. I think the make of him was at Ibrox that day. I think when we looked at the back four of Celtic, when they went up against Rangers, you were thinking, oh, there's goals there. Liam Scales was magnificent, and I think he's just grown and grown. And even when Celtic were going through their little mini crisis, when Brendan Rodgers and some of the players were coming in for a bit of criticism, everybody in this show used to phone in and compliment Scales with the way he went about his business. He's been absolutely brilliant.
And then with that, do you feel like it became almost people were then waiting on it to just fizzle out, waiting on the honeymoon period over?
Was
it that Feyenoord game? Was that when maybe, you know, things was it that game? Things had started to maybe get a bit ropey, and people were saying, and I mean, look at this, we're going to just, you know, Liam Scales is about to kind of get dragged down as well. And then I think he was man of the match. So he's kind of weathered that and then kicked on again.
He's been the one constant. Carter Vickers may be a better player, but Carter Vickers this season has been troubled by injury. Mavrotsky and Lagabielka, the story is well known there, can't be relied upon. Scales has been the one constant, and he has more than justified his selection and more than justified the contract extension.
I've got to say, just adding to that, you picked up on the good point there, going, I think I sat for, you know, weeks and weeks and watched the lad and thinking, the bubble will burst. You know, that good start that he had to his Celtic career, and everybody talking about him, bit more added pressure because everybody's giving him those compliments, and you've got to produce week in, week out, especially a team at Celtic, and the pressure it's put on you. And he's risen to a challenge. He's been absolutely terrific for Celtic. Just now, he'll probably be in that top four for player of the year.
Come on then, surprise of the season. Let's have a bit of fun with this. I want to thank you for the response on Twitter's great. So many tweets, but it's nice to do it in the phone. So that's sort of the point as well. So who's your surprise of the season? Is it Liam Scales or is it someone else? You want to disagree? You want to make it a more negative award? You can do that. We're good at that here in Scotland. You want to talk about a team surprise of the season right now if you can, and we'll speak to you next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Gordon Dalziel are here. They are about to put on their glamorous outfits, walk down that red carpet. It's award season time. We're looking for your half season award nominee for surprise of the season so far. We had a few tweets, and Hugh Evans gave his endorsement to Liam Scales. Surprise of the season. It can be a good one, a bad one, a player, a team, something else. And we're going to speak to Tommy, who has a suggestion. But let me give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Straightforward in theory, thanks to Jerry for sending this in. Can you name 10 players currently in the Scottish Premiership who have been capped by Australia? It's not easy to get all 10.
Boyle.
Yup.
Tilio.
Yes.
Well done.
7 caps. He's off to the Asia Cup. Gordon, would you like to add anything? I know geography's not necessarily your strong suit.
Ryan McGowan.
Brilliant. What a professional you are. 22 caps. We'll leave it there. Ryan McGowan, Martin Boyle, Marco Tilio. Try and get the other 7. And like Jerry did, if you want to submit a question, hear your question used to confuse the pundits, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Tommy is on the line. How's it going, Tommy?
Hi, no lads. How are you?
I'm all good here, Tommy. Surprise of the season. What are you going for?
Surprise of the season for me was Rangers qualifying for the last 16 and doing so quite comfortably in the end.
I get it, Hugh. That fits the criteria for me.
All credit to both Michael Beale and Philippe Clement, because
you don't hear that very often on this show.
Yeah,
do you?
Well, you have to, because one took them so far and the other one got them over the line into the last 16. So it's a joint award. Michael Beale didn't get a lot of credit for anything.
Does the core of the surprise, you know, is this based on what you thought would happen before it all started, Tommy, or the surprise after the Limassol games?
After the Limassol game, everybody had a show off. And people were talking about the Conference League or no European football at all. So whatever Clement's done when he came in, whatever he said to the players, it sort of changed the team a wee bit, really. Their mentality more than anything. No one knew they could play, just their mentality, I think.
I think it certainly fits the bill, Gordon. I said it was a very open award. You know, it could be a good surprise, a bad surprise. To top the group, especially. Okay, qualification, fine, but to top the group, was that a surprise for you?
Yeah, I think it was a great achievement, I've got to say, because I think that, you know, when you look at Limassol, you would think that's your 6 points in the bag, and that's probably where Rangers struggled most. But to finish top, and the way they succeeded, Gordon, as much as a surprise, I didn't fancy him to do that, but the new manager came in, and Hugh's quite right. I think Michael Beale comes in for a lot of criticism, but he started the journey. And so far it's been excellent.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy, I suppose in the way it was done with that final win, is that in itself maybe, I mean, on one hand, Kilmarnock fans might say, oh, we've had some of the surprise results of the season, but they've ended up doing it so often that maybe it's not a surprise. If we were talking about one surprise result or big result, maybe it is that one, isn't it?
Well, you were up against a manager who'd won the Champions League, didn't you? So you'd going away to home and winning 3-2, you know, so that was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, like I said,
we've talked often enough on Clyde about what was the players that we still have who were in that game are still maybe not hit the ground running yet.
True.
And out as well.
And adding to the surprise, Tommy, Desser scored a wonderful goal in Seville, and you don't often get a chance to congratulate him.
I've been on before talking about Lammers. I think the guy's a really technically good player. It's just in the last third he seems to panic. I think there's still something there that you get at that guy.
Well, maybe that's the fatal flaw for Philippe Clement. You know, you have to take a decision based on something, and maybe you've hit the nail on the head. Maybe Clement doesn't see a player with sufficient composure in the last third, and that's the most important area of the pitch.
I mean, that's it, because that's where this award, it can be cruel, it can be unforgiving, it can be sarcastic. I thought Hugh was going to tell us that Cyril Desser's goal in that game was the surprise of the season, but I think that's maybe been a bit unfair the quality of the goal. He's gone on. But yeah, Gordon, day one of the season, Kilmarnock caused a bit of a shock. They've done it against Celtic a couple of times. But if there was one kind of standout shock result or big result, That might be it. Rangers and Seville.
Look, any game in the European scene is very difficult, especially when you're coming up against top quality, and obviously the opposition. You even look at Lazio, for instance, as well. I think the Rangers, where they succeed, is their home form in this Europa League throughout, even, you know, under previous managers, even when they got to the final as well, has been absolutely terrific. So, you know, in Europe, it's always difficult. We know how difficult it is. We've seen that with our teams. But as I say, as much as it is a surprise, it's a terrific achievement.
It's a good shout, Tommy. I like it. Thank you very much for getting that one over to us. I said it was on the phones or Twitter, your surprise of the season. There's still time for it to be changed, but you're happy for both of them to be on the shortlist. Liam Scales.
Oh yeah, without
good
doubt.
And Rangers topping their Europa League group, given mm-hmm. the start.
Can I give you a negative one?
I would love you to.
There's a Scottish Cup tie coming up a fortnight's time, Clyde versus Aberdeen. My surprise is that from the Scottish Cup humiliation at the hands of Darvo, leading up to this next possible problematic game against Clyde, Aberdeen have not... Darvo should have been a watershed moment. Mm. Aberdeen, in the year they celebrated the 40th anniversary of winning the European Cup Winners' Cup, Aberdeen should have been ashamed of the Darvo result and should have gone on to better things. But the club has not, for me, progressed in a satisfactory way, and they're still bottom six.
You're not alone, because James Kant sent a message in there saying his positive one was Scales and his negative one was Aberdeen. It's a tricky one, Gordon, because Aberdeen since then to be finished third. Mm-hmm. Since then they finished third and they got European football, and actually by our own Scottish football standards it was a respectable European campaign. But I would totally respect if you said take a look at the league table. So maybe right now, if it was surprise of this season, Aberdeen's league position might be one.
Yeah, because if we were all filling in our sheets for who's going to finish where in the league, the argument would be you're either going third Aberdeen or fourth Aberdeen, third Hearts or fourth Hearts. Because if you look at the squad that Aberdeen have got and assembled, if you look at probably their budget, it's probably up there with Hearts, just outside Celtic and Rangers. Their league campaign has been really, really poor, you've got to say. Yes, you can maybe put up an argument they got to the final. And when they got to the final, it didn't really produce anything that would see you thinking that they had a good opportunity winning that final. So for the size of the club of Aberdeen, the budget, the players that they've got at their disposal, because let's not be kidded here, they've got some real good players in that squad, then I think Aberdeen would be a negative, you know, just now.
You're talking about the last game before the break, where they went to Ross County and they had a convincing win, but people were saying that if Barry Robson didn't win at Ross County, he could have been in severe danger of losing his job. That's the way they're running at the moment.
There's some really good ones coming in, actually, that I think I had totally sort of forgotten about or overlooked. Kieran says Scales is his positive. He's written Wraith Rogers. I think that's probably a typo, unless it's some sort of Brendan Rogers like joke that I don't get, but I'm pretty sure he means Wraith Rovers. Your mm-hmm. team could say that. I mean, certainly before the weekend, but they're still top.
Still top, yeah.
Does that qualify?
Yeah, oh yeah, I certainly think it does, because they're in a situation, they're up against Dundee United, and if you're talking about budgets, they've got the biggest budget in the league by a million miles. They're punching above their weight, they're playing attractive football, and so far it's going very well for Ian Murray and the men up in Kirkcaldy.
The fact that we were surprised on Saturday's programme that Wraith had not taken the opportunity, after Dundee United's defeat at home to Morton, had not taken the opportunity to go even further in front at the top of the Championship, speaks volumes for the way that they have impressed. Because at the start of the season, Wraith Rovers likely to go up? No one would have said that.
There's a few along a similar theme here, and I wonder if, you know, if we sort of almost combine all of these, and based on what we were talking about in terms of a news story in the first hour, this does become one that's on our list, and it is more of a negative one. So Derek FM says sort of bad surprise for him was Rangers signing Lammers. Andrew said a biggest surprise is how bad the summer window was for Rangers in the forward areas after the previous manager was backed. Lots of optimism when that spectacular failure now got all fans wary of future transfers when a manager has carte blanche. Matthew as well, can't believe the tactical genius behind Steven Gerrard got sacked for being shown to be totally inept. Although Matthew's, I think, a Celtic fan, and he's had a wee pop, which is fine as well. But is that maybe be one? The underwhelming attacking signings for Rangers in the summer. We'd need to come up with a catchier.
Danilo, yet to capture the imagination. Dessers, likewise. So, yes, it's been a surprise. Rangers for
forward going players, Celtic for defensive players. You cannot have £7.5 million worth of central defenders who don't play.
I think I've probably in a long time not seen a transfer window in the summer where both clubs, you can point the finger at the signings.
Yeah, but the tweets are kind of mostly centering the Rangers. They're mostly coming from Rangers fans. Like we said, I think it was the idea that there was that rebuild on, and it was needed, and there was decent money spent, and the YouTube reels were decent, and Sam Lammers had a good pre-season, all that stuff.
The fact he's had to bring in Fabio Silva, and he, the jury's still out on him as well, because we've only seen 20 minutes of him. The fact he had to bring in Fabio Silva was, for me, Philippe Clement saying, I've seen what I've got here, and I'm not impressed.
But you can flip it, Hugh, because I remember watching Sima early in his Rangers career, and I thought he was up there with the Dessers and the Lammers, and I'm thinking, oh, that's another one. And he's completely turned it around, you've got to say.
Right, okay. So what are we thinking then? Is that, are we starting to form a decent list? So we're definitely going Scales, Emergence, Rangers topping Europa League group.
Aberdeen.
Rangers disappointing summer recruitment. Are these those three nailed on?
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of wriggle room for one more. Honestly, some of the shouts on here, Hugh, you are getting a mention for getting your 10 on Beat the Pundit. This is my favourite. I knew it would be something bizarre, you know, nothing to do with football really, just mostly about this show. I need to make sure I give the tweeter the credit that they deserve. Oh, where is it? It's about you, Gordon, dear.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Johnny says, my biggest surprise is that I now refer to Wednesday nights as bath night, and I don't even take a bath, says Johnny. see the influence that you have, Johnny, in the south side.
That's disturbing, isn't it? Tomorrow night in the tub,
That is absolutely disturbing.
People actually don't believe that, some Q, but that is a genuine fact.
Well, there isn't, Mick. To be fair, Mick says his surprise of the season has been Celtic recruitment team pants, he says, and attaches the gif of, what's that picture again? It's Bridget Jones, she's got the big pants.
Yeah, okay.
I think we'll move on before you say something that you regret. I think that's definitely wise. So we had a call there. We had one from Tommy saying that his surprise was Rangers topping the Europa League group. If you've got anything else you want to add on the phones, I'd love you to do it. 01419511025. If you call right now, there's a good chance we'll get you on before the end of the show. In the meantime, can you two name the 10 players currently in the Scottish top flight who've been capped by Australia? Ryan McGowan, Martin Boyle and Marco Tilio.
Right, I might be way off the mark. Is Ryan Strain Australian?
You're not way off the mark, well done. Any from you, Hugo?
Struggling with this
one. Okay, I'll give you some thinking time and we will get the rest of the answers and hopefully more of your calls next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final part of tonight's show. We've got Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans here, 01419511025. And we're asking you for your surprise of this season, whether it's a good one, a bad one, a player, a team, something else entirely. Please get your suggestions over to us. We'll put a shortlist together and you can vote throughout the evening. On the teaser, we're looking for 10 players currently in the Scottish Premiership who've been capped by Australia. Ryan McGowan, Martin Boyle, Marco Tilio and Ryan Strain.
Here's teamwork. I got his first name and the Dazzler got his second name.
Cammy. Devlin.
Absolutely. You better believe he's been capped.
Yeah, he's got Maradona strip.
No, he's not got Maradona strip.
Messi strip. Maradona.
Easy mistake to me. Yeah. We knew what you meant.
He's his teammate.
He's only got two caps.
Is it Kyle Rowles?
Kyle Rowles. Yes, he does. 14 caps.
How many is that we've got left?
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4 to get.
Oh, no.
Is that not good?
No, that's a bad sign.
Is it? Okay. Gary is on the line. How are you, Gary?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
All good. Surprise of the season. What have you got for me?
Well, the first surprise of the season's got to Hugh Keevans for his 10.
I agree. Nah. I mean, Gary, who saw that coming?
I think that should be in the list of four, Gordon.
By the way, it could be, because I feel like the fourth is still
up for
grabs. I'm not as convinced about the fourth as the others. So maybe, I don't know, maybe your 10 on Beat the Pundit is in there. What about on the pitch, Gary?
If I had to be on the pitch, I had to be Liam Scales.
Yeah. Hugh, I think, listen, we leave it up to democracy. There's a temptation from some to rename this the Liam Scales Award.
If you had said in July, But by the time we reach the first week in January, Liam Scales will be spoken about as the biggest surprise of the season for the consistency of his displays at Celtic. People would have said he won't even be at Celtic the first week in January. So that's the measure of Liam Scales and what he's done. He's a success story of the first half of the season.
I think the biggest compliment I can give him, Hugh, is I'm not surprised that he stayed at Celtic with his performances. I'm surprised that he's become such an important player for them now. He's actually claimed that left centre back position. There's no doubt about it. And you touches on the brought centre backs in worth $7.5 million. But Liam Scales probably will be first on that list with Callum McGregor every week.
Gary, what's impressed you most about him?
Well, when he hadn't been in, but since he's been in, he's been, I think he's been pretty well outstanding.
I think there's been an all round, Gordon, as well. Like, that kind of backs to the wall, traditional defending's there, but then also use of the ball. Has it been an all round package? Is that why he stayed in?
Yeah, I actually watched him very closely down at Rugby Park, Gordon. Obviously, it was a disappointing day for Celtic that day, they get beat. But he actually played very well indeed. He's defensive, his defensive, what's the word I'm looking for? Abilities are very, very good. But nowadays, for a centre back, you need more than that. You need to be able to be comfortable stepping out from the back, making passes, getting involved, becoming a midfield player at times and being part of the build-up, especially with Celtic at Celtic Park when they get so much domination of the ball. And he fits the bill brilliantly because he's got a lovely left foot.
Very decent distribution. And also, for the first time in a long time, Celtic have got a defender who can come up and pose an aerial threat when they have a corner kick or a set piece. You can only see him going from strength to strength.
Good shout, Gary. Thank you very much. That was Gary on the line, about to be joined by Rob in the South Side. What would you throw in for surprise of the season, Rob?
I don't think it's been said yet, but Ross McCausland.
Good shout.
I think he's been absolutely outstanding since he's been drafted in through injuries and other players just not performing. And I think Ross has been absolutely brilliant this season for such a young guy. And we know how Rangers fans now and again, I am a Rangers fan, and we like to criticise young players now and again, but he's been absolutely in the money.
I think Philippe Clement again has to take his fair share of the credit there, because McCausland didn't turn up at Ibrox 6 months ago. You know, he'd been there for a while and it didn't really feature under Michael Beale, but Clement obviously saw something in him straight away and put him into the team and kept him there and let him make his mistakes, as inevitably he will do, but let him flourish at the same time. So
yeah, he was getting his debut, Gordon, was that, or yeah, certainly this season. Did he play before? I don't think he did. Anyway, that St Mirren game, when it was the interim team, wasn't it, Stephen Davis and Alex Ray, he came on just towards the end of the first half. And then Hugh's right, he sort of stayed in there.
Yeah, he was given, I watched him in a few appearances coming on, especially at Ibrox as a sub, and he seemed to get bums off his seats, the old-fashioned saying, people excite you. He was a ball carrier, he was very good at running with the ball at his feet, causing defenders problems, he was always positive. And he just worked away to it. And obviously the manager had every belief in his confidence, his ability, to keep him in there. And he's now became a regular feature in the first team. He's probably, if Rangers played, against Dumbarton in the Cup, he'll probably be in that starting lineup. He's become such a big player for them. He's an excellent talent. And I think that, he'll only get better and better with the more games he plays.
Also, the first Old Firm game he played in, duck to water. Joe Hart had to make a very good save from him. He wasn't swallowed up by the occasion. He's been a credit to himself, and also fair play to Philippe Clement for saying, I'll stick by him.
Rob, does he need someone else, though, to take the load off him a bit in that area? of the pitch, because it's not to be overcritical, but there's probably been one or two games where you think, you know, he could do maybe coming out the team, or like I say, just maybe take that load off him. Is that an area Rangers might look at, or do you think he can sort of make that position his own between now and the end of the season?
I would love him to make it his own position, but I think with the pressures of being a young player and playing for Rangers, it'd be the exact same as Celtic. If he played one bad half in a game and the fans would have been top of him, I think I quite like Scott Wright, if I'm honest with you, but he's not an out-and-out player for Rangers. But I think I would just love him to move forward and take the position as his own, basically.
It's a good shout, Rob.
I think he's got it.
Good shout. Thank you very much, Rob, throwing Ross McCausland into the mix. I think we're definitely settled on Liam Scales. I think we're settled on
Rangers signings.
Rangers difficult attacking summer window, whatever you want to rebrand it. What was the other one that we said?
They finished the group.
Rangers topping the group. Maybe, I mean, no surprise, it makes it sound quite negative, like people had it written off. It's not really the intention, it's just a bit of fun. Kilmarnock's Old Firm dominance. Andrews sent that one in.
I had Kilmarnock down.
Is that fair? I mean, like we said, you do it three times, it's not a surprise. Mm. But you know, early season, you know, if you were to predict that before, that they'll have three wins against Celtic and Rangers, yeah, by the turn of the year.
It's the damage those wins could do.
Would that count?
Yeah. I mean,
do you know where I think it counts as well, Hugh? Last year they finished 10th after coming up, getting promoted. They're sitting just now in fourth place. They've got those victories against both Rangers and Celtic under their belts as well. So, yeah, I think you've got to give Kilmarnock a bit of credit.
And I can almost see, though, Derek McInnes saying, I'm not surprised, and you kind of like, there's the temptation to see it as a criticism.
It's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, that's my problem. But it's not meant to be. Like, the intention is good. It is meant to be with a bit of credit there. I hope the Kilmarnock fans take it in that spirit.
I think it is a compliment, as you quite rightly says, because we touched on, if you look at teams that are below them, like Aberdeen, for instance, bigger budget by miles. Hibs, probably a bigger budget by miles as well. So to get the scalps that they've and put Celtic out of the cup, beat Rangers, obviously beat Celtic again, to be sitting in fourth and going into the winter break, I think that's a brilliant achievement.
In our world, the Rangers fans will say, well, first day of the season, Michael Beale, it was just the start of the long goodbye for him. The Celtic fans will say, well, it's Brendan Rodgers' fault if we go out of a cup competition to Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. And also, the state that Celtic were in defensively, when you've got Nat Phillips scoring an own goal at Kilmarnock, and you know, the defeats to Kilmarnock and Hearts in quick succession may yet come back to haunt Celtic.
Again, if we were going to give out more credit to a team, and I know it sounds like a backhanded compliment, I was maybe going to suggest the way Dundee have taken to life in the top flight. I mean, they're seventh. It's not like amazing, but for the newly promoted team, and they're very secure. They've had, you know, some really good results. Would that be fair?
And the way that Tony Docherty has taken the management, because he was Derek McInnes's assistant for years and years, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock. So, yeah, it's a dual triumph to the Aberdeen, the Dundee players, and to a manager having his first experience of being out on his own.
Shannon says, surprise of the season is Falkirk going on a 24-game unbeaten run. They're drawing 0-0 with Cove at the moment. Right, what we do? So that's our four, is it? Liam Scales, Rangers topping their group, the disappointment of Lammers and Dessers, or just Lammers or whatever, and Kilmarnock's Old Firm dominance. That seemed like a fair four.
Okay, throw it out there.
And we'll let democracy take its course from here until tomorrow. You can vote all night on Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'll announce the winner and give you a new category tomorrow. Can you name 10 players currently in the Scottish Premiership who've been capped by Australia? Ryan McGowan, Martin Boyle, Kai Rowles, Cammy Devlin, Marco Tilio, Ryan Strain.
We're in trouble.
Jeez, you're in real trouble.
I think I've got one.
Quick.
Bacchus.
Yep, Keanu Bacchus. Well done. Okay. Two Hibs, one Hearts to go. Hearts have got loads. You've got Kai Rowles.
Atkinson.
Yep, Nathaniel Atkinson.
Who we got now?
Thanks for watching the award winning feature I did with Kai Rowles and this guy on the beach in Portobello before the Edinburgh Derby. He plays for Hibs.
Newell.
No, he's English. He's from Birmingham.
He could have went there and he saw
him. Fullback.
Yep.
Miller.
Lewis Miller, well done. And the last one, he's got 15 caps, middle of the pitch.
For Hibs?
Yep.
No.
Jimmy Jago.
Oh. Ah, never get that.
Well, you nearly got there. Thank you, Gordon and Hugh. Marvin Bartley. I don't know what's happening. Queen of the South lost at the weekend, but he's still in tomorrow. Mm. It's a new year, new him.
It's not tomorrow yet.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley tomorrow with a new category for you on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Half Season Awards. Make sure you join us. Hopefully there will be some more transfer speculation updates for us as well. Have a good night though. We will speak to you at six tomorrow. And Callum Gallagher is up next.